KTAR News 92.3 FM. Streaming live and on demand on the KTAR News app. Mac and Gatos. Remembering Arizona Senator John McCain.
So with the passing of the Senator from Arizona, John McCain, we're not going to do a daily download today because this show is all about the Senator and his life and us remembering him. And it's interesting that we obviously knew John McCain, but we're going to pull the curtain back a little bit because we got to see a side of John McCain that not everybody gets to see, and it starts here at KTAR. And for you, Gatos, it started 20 years ago, getting to know the senator from Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I knew John McCain for 20 years. Rough weekend. This really did affect me because we know his family. We're very good friends with Meghan McCain. Can't imagine what they're going through.
We've met Cindy before.
Oh, sure. So, you know, we are going to do this a little different. We're actually going to have a little fun because the John McCain that you hear with us on the air, we talked North Korea. We talked Syria. We talked Iraq at certain times. I mean, we talked Trump. We talked everything. But we also had fun with him.
Yeah.
And in this first segment, we're going to play some of that. We're going to play some of the fun that we had with John McCain because he was funny and he was fun. Now, don't get me wrong. When McCain came into this studio and he joined us, we wanted to get some serious business out of the way. But this show also has fun with politicians if we can.
We had serious questions, but this was a guy who had a just rapier wit.
Right.
He was just sarcastic.
Sure.
He was caustic. And
he'd make fun of us.
He'd make fun of us. He'd make fun of himself.
Yeah.
I mean, the man was fun to be around, but also very intimidating because the man's legacy is he was unstoppable if he needed to get stuff done.
Correct. Correct. So we pulled 10 years of stuff. We pulled 10 years of stuff from John McCain, and we're going to play it through the program. In a little while, you're going to get to hear our final interview with him, which was about a year ago. But there have been times where he has come on this show, and right out of the gate, he's kind of goofed and ripped us. Take a listen. Joining us now is Senator John McCain. He's in studio. Senator, it's great to see you. How are you?
Great to be back with you two scamps.
I know.
That's an accurate portrayal.
That
yes.
So he would laugh at us like that. He would here and he'd call us, all right, we're with you two goofballs, and nice to be with you scamps.
Right.
But the thing that about John McCain is when he, you know, we talk about how I've interviewed him for 20 years, but Mac, you and I have been together for 10. The first time he came on this show, we were brand new as the afternoon drive show. And John McCain coming on this show legitimized us. We were kind of rookies in afternoon drive.
Right.
John McCain doesn't go on just every show. And he decided to go on this show because this show was an up-and-coming program. And talking to him about Syria and Russia and all this kind of stuff, he was a big part of maybe even, you know, getting us to where we are today. He was one of the first very big names that we brought in studio. And since then, you've heard us with everybody, Trump and Hillary and Ducey and anybody that you can imagine. But man, I'll tell you, some of the times when he came on the show, he would just bring something up that was
he would surprise
so random,
us. Yes,
like this.
On behalf of my friend Snooki, we need to repeal the tax. We need to repeal the tax on tanning beds.
Oh. Snooki from the Jersey Shore was just mentioned by McCain. That was in 2015.
How many 70 or 80 year old people would drop a Snooki reference into anything? This is what made this man so absolutely special.
Yeah,
it was the energy. It was the history. I mean, if you think about it, maybe you don't know this. John McCain came in almost dead last in his Naval Academy graduation. His father was in the Navy. His grandfather was in the Navy. He had so much pressure, and yet John McCain went into the Navy as well and wasn't expected to do very much, was given a number of opportunities that his dad bailed him out, if you will. He wrecked a lot more airplanes than you're allowed to wreck, and yet he was shot down at a POW and kept in a POW camp
for 5.5 years.
And if you look back at his life, his life was the military, but his life was about service and serving others. And I've never seen anybody with more energy. I've never seen anybody with an uncompromising and unwavering view of what they believe is right. When it went against their own party, his own party, knowing that he would catch flack. Everybody remembers when he stood up in Minnesota during a debate and shut a woman down who brought up that Barack Obama was a Muslim,
an Arab,
and was not from this country. He immediately went into that crowd and said, ma'am, we're not going to do that. But he also defended Huma Abedin, who was Hillary Clinton's right-hand lady. When she was accused of helping Muslim terrorists, he came out on the floor of the Senate and said, this is preposterous. This is not what we do here. Time after time after time, when can you name another person who knowingly going in, all the odds are against him, that he's not going to win the popularity contest, yeah, but he still said what he thought was right. He lived an honest life.
Everybody is trying to come up with that one word about John McCain. I'll come up with the word. It's character. It's character. This guy would rather lose an election,
right,
and tell a woman, hey, Obama is not an Arab. He is not a Muslim. He is a fine family man who I just happen to disagree with. Who does that?
Right. Politicians would just let that woman go on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he ended up losing the election, but he never lost his character. He never
even
lost
to the end.
That. Yeah.
He voted to keep the Affordable Care Act. He voted to keep Obamacare.
So we're trying to remember John McCain a little bit more, at least in this first segment, playing some of the fun times that we had. Here was one. Here he is, joining us now in studio.
John McCain.
He introduces himself.
Going online, signing up for Obamacare.
So he'd come on and he'd just introduce himself.
Right.
Lloyd, do I have time to play this minute clip, or are we up against it? We got a break? Okay, we're going to do that in a bit. So here's the thing. Throughout the show, we're going to remember John McCain. We're going to try and celebrate John McCain.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
We're not going to eulogize. We're going to celebrate this man's life because he deserves to be celebrated.
I agree. Jerry Colangelo will join us this hour. Let's see. John Hook at 3 o'clock.
Governor Doug Ducey will be here at 5:15.
He'll be in studio. Doug Ducey's going to have to find someone to replace John McCain. But coming up next, we last interviewed McCain about a year ago, shortly after his diagnosis. We asked him if he was scared to die. You're going to hear what he had to say in just a second.
KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Streaming live and on demand on the KTAR News app. Mac and Gatos. Looking back on the life and service of John McCain.
We got a call from Megan McCain about a year ago, and she said, my father wants to come on your show. He was just diagnosed with brain cancer, and it was the only radio interview that he wanted to do, and it was with us, and we were honored. Megan and Senator McCain were in studio on August the 8th, 2017, and we just had a talk about life. And here's that conversation.
The Arizona senator has decided to join us in studio, and he literally just walked in right now. So as he gets settled down, Senator, how are you today? It's good to see you again.
Get new chairs for this studio. That's the first thing we're going to do.
Is that the first thing we need to do? Get new chairs?
Glad to see you guys again. I brought the star of stage, screen, and television, my daughter Megan, who you all had conversations with from time to time.
And I keep saying, I don't want to do press. I don't want to talk to anyone. And then he came in. He said, don't be a jerk. Go.
Well, Senator, you know Megan comes on every Wednesday.
That's right.
And we're glad to have both of you here. We're going to talk a lot about North Korea coming up in a minute because that is just the major news stories of the day. But, Senator, let's start with your health.
Sure.
How are you feeling?
Good. Real fine. I'm getting treatment at Mayo, and things look fine. I mean, it's one of these things you have to go through, obviously, but my health is fine. I'm working hard, and as I mentioned on the floor of the Senate to my Democrat friends, I'll be back.
It doesn't surprise me.
That doesn't surprise anybody.
Senator, take us back to July 19th.
Yeah.
That was the day that you found out you were diagnosed with brain cancer. Can you take us back to that day and the doctors say, Senator, it's brain cancer? Mm-hmm. What was your initial reaction? What were the first words out of your mouth? How did you react?
I reacted as if, well, we got another challenge. That's all. You know, got another fight to fight. And only this time it's a little harder. My other fights have been me versus them. You know, and when you got something like this, it has a lot to do with things that aren't in your hands, you know.
He was bizarrely calm.
Really?
I will say that, yes.
And the doctors out at Mayo are wonderful people. They gave me the whole story as to what we can expect. I've been getting treatment every day, mm-hmm. and I feel fine. I feel real good. I've got another week and a half of that, and then, and fortunately for me, the Senate is out of session. Fortunately for the American people, the Senate is out of session. So I'll be going back, and
he's we'll doing extremely well. I go to the treatments every day, and I think I can share that the doctors are saying he's doing extremely well and almost unusually well, and. This is tough for everyone, but it's also many battles our family has been through before in many different ways, and you have to take it week by week and day by day. But I mean, it's going better than I would have expected. Right,
Senator John McCain, Meghan McCain in studio. Meghan, what was your What was your first reaction? You know, when you came back to Arizona, you knew the diagnosis was brain cancer, and you look at your father, and what was that like?
I mean, I don't want to get too much into it on the radio, if you don't mind, just at this moment. But obviously, it's the way anybody would be. But I have him on a very strict diet right now, and I've introduced him to the concept of green juice.
A very strict diet.
Which
nothing
doesn't
that tastes good.
Doesn't like any of it. But, you know, we have been through I work with my dad often and in an unofficial capacity. Obviously, we talk every day. And it's just I'm facing this like we do campaigns and like any other, any other thing in our family. It feels like when my brother deployed, you just have to come together as a family and work together. And Arizona is a very special state, and Arizonans have been unbelievably wonderful to my family. And it's nice to be around such a friendly environment right now.
We're with Senator John McCain and his daughter Meghan in studio. And you know, the initial reaction in the newsroom was, you don't know what to say. Are you surprised by the reaction of people? Can you share a story of somebody who reached out or someone who, you know, like, wow, I didn't expect to hear from that person, or I didn't expect that from that person?
The lady in the lobby.
I think. Say it again.
The Hispanic woman in the lobby.
In the lobby of my office, a Hispanic woman came up to me and put her arms around me. She was crying and said, thank you. I guess the other event, though, was when I came back to the Senate and I gave a speech, and it was an important speech, I thought, particularly on the issue of maybe we should do something together. But every senator stayed in his seat and listened and applauded. That's never happened before. I've been there 30 years, and I've never seen that happen
before. Did they take it to heart? Do you believe they took it to heart?
I think they took it to heart. Then the question is, can they find a way to do it? Now, I think the first test might be on Obamacare, that we put it in the committee of Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray. She's the Democrat. He's the Republican. And work through it. In other words, have debate, have discussion, have amendments, put out a package and put it on the floor and let's have debates. What's wrong with that?
I wonder if it's ever going to happen.
I think we all go there for a reason, and that is to serve the people we represent and the country. We're not doing that. Wouldn't it be in us to want to work together and make some progress? Mm. And the issue isn't going away.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not confident. I believe that we can. I believe there was a genuine outpouring, not just of affection for me, but what my message was. And frankly, I was very, very, very flattered. Some of my worst enemies came up and put their arm around me. And, you know, it was very, very touching.
Are you scared? Because I've interviewed you for 20 years. You've been through everything. You've been to war. Mm-hmm. You've been through a presidential election.
You've been a POW.
You've been through it all. And I just personally want to know, does this scare you?
It scares me as far as its potential is concerned, because they have 1,000 rockets aimed at Seoul within that could set that a city on fire. That's a city of 26 million people.
Oh, I meant your health. I'm sorry.
I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking about Korea. Am I worried about it?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. But the doctors have been straight with me. I know what the odds are. And look.
And you remember Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy was in the same predicament too.
Yeah. Joe Biden's son. Look, I've had such a wonderful life. I've had such an incredible life. All I want to do is say thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunities I've had and what I've been able to do. And I've sure made a lot of mistakes, but I am the luckiest guy. I've told you guys this before.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The luckiest guy you'll ever have on your show.
That's true.
So, I'm sorry I jumped.
That's okay.
North Korea.
No,
I apologize.
Megan, your mom said he's going to beat it.
Yeah.
You agree?
I'm not giving you lip service. I'm taking time off of work to be here and just to help my mother as much as my dad. And he's responding, I can't reveal too much of like the medical stuff at this moment, but I've done a ton of research, talked to every expert you could possibly imagine. And right at this moment, he's doing better than I could have ever wished for. And I mean, we hike every weekend, or he's exercising. I think the worst part about this for him right now is, again, the fact that I'm making him eat so much spinach at the moment.
Is that what it is? Spinach, not kale?
No, it's
have you introduced him to kale?
Yeah.
Some kind of green stuff.
It's green juice.
It tastes worse than it looks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's the last time that we interviewed John McCain. And it was last August 2017, his wonderful daughter in studio with us as well. And I'm going to miss him. He's an American hero. He's an icon. It was an honor to know the guy. And I'm going to miss him. And it's been a tough weekend for me because I really, really liked him. We really like his daughter. And we know that she's in tremendous pain right now, losing her father.
Yeah. A lot of people are. A lot of people really love this man. Another great thing about John McCain is he was such an Arizona sports fan. He loved the sports teams out here and he wasn't a bandwagon guy. Mm-hmm. He knew a lot about the sports teams out here for years.
Yeah, and one of his friends, former Suns and Diamondbacks owner Jerry Colangelo, he is going to join us live next, talk about his friend John McCain. Stick around.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos, remembering Arizona Senator John McCain.
Yeah, and it's been 48 hours since we found out that the senator had passed away in Sedona. And we think that we should celebrate his life today on the air, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're playing some of the great moments that we had with John McCain on this show over the last 10 years. Some of them are just absolutely hilarious. Some of them extremely newsworthy. We're kind of giving you a little bit of each, a little bit of both. So we'll do that and sprinkle it throughout the show. But something about John McCain was that he was a huge Arizona sports fan. And joining us now is the former Suns and Diamondbacks owner Jerry Colangelo on KTAR. Jerry, Mac and Gatos, it is nice to have you on the show.
Hi, guys.
You know, John McCain, what a fan. This guy was an incredible Diamondbacks fan, wasn't he?
He was. He, I was telling the story this afternoon that he was in my office with Jerry Reinsdorf, who was on the committee to actually select the team, and in terms of the prospective teams, Tampa and Arizona, and he was really selling our situation.
Wow!
And so it was kind of an interesting situation. Hang on one second. I'm on the road, and I'm going to have to just put you on hold for about 5 seconds.
Okay. All right. Jerry Colangelo can put us on hold, by the way.
Yes,
Mac.
He can.
That is allowed.
Yes, he can. I mean, it's a former Suns owner, former D-backs owner.
It's interesting that he was talking about – that's when the Diamondbacks weren't – they weren't even the Diamondbacks quite yet.
Right.
It was back in 96 or so, and Jerry Colangelo is back with us now at KTAR. Everything good, Jerry?
Everything's fine.
Good,
I'm
good.
In Chicago on business, and sorry for that interruption.
Not a problem.
But I think of John's great enthusiasm for all the teams. You know, he was a fixture at Suns games whenever he was in town and not in Washington, D.C. He had season tickets right on the floor, corner of the floor on the Sun side of the arena. And, you know, where I sat, I had a perspective and saw him, and it was a comfortable feeling knowing that whenever he was in town, he was there. Diamondbacks, he became a huge fan. Again, I'll give him an assist in helping us landing a franchise. And then number two, you know, his great interest in the game, and, of course, the World Series year when he was front and center and a big part of, you know, all of the festivities, et cetera, all the excitement. He greeted and actually was with our team at Ground Zero during the World Series, and those are very fond memories for me.
Jerry Colangelo joins us, Valley Icon, Arizona sports executive. As far as an owner's concerned, can you give us some insight? What does it mean to have a senator have so much interest and have so much passion for the local sports teams when they live all the way in Washington for most part of the year? What does that mean for you, and how does that really affect you guys?
Well, it goes beyond just sports teams. I mean, usually the people who are involved in ownership of the teams are very involved business-wise within their own states, and political relationships are very important because so much of what happens in Washington, D.C. has an impact on our local economy, and there are endeavors that we have interest in that we need support for. You know, I think through the years, the expansion of the Civic Plaza, the light rail system, the transportation system, water. These were all vital things to us in our local economy. And, you know, you need the support of your legislators in Washington, D.C. And John was there for us all the time because he understood it. He related. And he wasn't as political as so many of them are.
Jerry Colangelo on KTAR, remembering John McCain. I think it's pretty interesting that you bring up, Jerry, that the senator was with you guys after 9/11, because that's in 2001 you ended up playing the New York Yankees in the World Series, and it was a weird time in America. It was a scary time. We got hit on 9/11, but the World Series kind of brought everybody together, and it gave us something to maybe distract us from the craziness and the scariness of terrorism. When you and John McCain and the team, you were at Ground Zero in New York, is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we busted, obviously. Things were very, very secure, and we got very, very close to, you know, grounds. I mean, when I say Ground Zero, we were right there. It was still smoldering. Mm. And it was, you know, an eerie, eerie moment in many ways. But it really touched, I think, all of us in a very huge way, because of the enormity of what had transpired, the devastation, the deaths, everything that it came to mean. And it was certainly, it added even more to the whole thing about us playing the New York Yankees at the World Series. The mere fact that it was tied to the World Trade Center, the terrible thing that took place.
Jerry, thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes remembering John McCain. We appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, Jerry Colangelo.
Again, a Valley icon in the sports world, Jerry Colangelo, saying how important it is to have a senator like John McCain on your side for your team. And most guys that own franchises or businessmen, they need somebody on their side, too, with certain deals and certain things. So what I loved about John McCain is he wasn't a bandwagon guy.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't a bandwagon. He would be at Coyotes games, and it would be a horrible game, no offense to the Coyotes, but it would be a bad game. But he would stay. I could see him up there in the box. He would stay the entire game.
And, you know, what's also funny is every time we had Senator McCain in the studio, you know, you and I had a list of stuff
that
we had to go over. And the thing that we'll pull the curtain back a little bit. What the thing you had to do with John McCain was not say, "Hey, Senator, how you doing?" Because he'd start talking about the Diamondbacks.
Oh, the baseball game. The,
and we were like, our audience doesn't want to know about that.
Right.
We want to know what's going on in North Korea.
Right.
So we had to ask him, we had to make sure we asked him a question about North Korea before he could get into, I got to tell you, it was yesterday's Diamondbacks game. Because we only had limited time with the senator. He just loved the teams. He really did. We're going to talk to Michael Bidwell, Cardinals president at 4:30. Man, I'll tell you, he was a big Cardinals fan, too, and he and Larry Fitzgerald had a really special bond.
They did.
We talked to Fitzgerald, who joined us in studio earlier this year, about that. So we'll do that at 4:30. But remembering John McCain, we're going to try and celebrate John McCain today on the show.
What we didn't know is that John McCain had a letter. He wrote a final letter.
On his deathbed.
And someone has read it to you, and you'll hear the letter in its entirety next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Streaming live and on demand on the KTAR News app. Mac and Gatos. Looking back on the life and service of John McCain.
We know toward the end of his life, John McCain was part of a documentary about his life. He had written a book. He had even read that book so you could hear it. But not surprisingly, he also left a farewell statement. And that statement was read by Rick Davis, Senator John McCain's former presidential campaign manager and a family spokesman. He read it today at a press conference at the Arizona State Capitol downtown today. And boy, it's just surprising that this man to the very end was just working and want the people of Arizona to know what he was and what he stood for.
He wrote a goodbye letter.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So Rick Davis, man, that was a tough job for him to go up in front of everybody and read it. So we wanted to play it for you. Here is Rick Davis, former national campaign manager for Senator McCain. These are John McCain's final words, read by Rick Davis.
These are John's words. My fellow Americans, whom I have gratefully served for 60 years, and especially my fellow Arizonians, thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the rewarding life that service in uniform and in public office has allowed me to lead. I've tried to serve our country honorably. I've made mistakes, but I hope my love for America will be weighed favorably against them. I've often observed that I am the luckiest person on earth. I feel that way even now as I prepare for the end of my life. I've loved my life, all of it. I've had experiences, adventures, friendships, enough for 10 satisfying lives, and I am so thankful. Like most people, I have regrets, but I would not trade a day of my life in good or bad times for the best day of anybody else's. I owe the satisfaction to the love of my family. One man has never had a more loving wife or children he was prouder of than I am of mine. And I owe it to America to be connected to America's causes, liberty, equal justice, respect for the dignity of all people, brings happiness more sublime than life's fleeting pleasures. Our identities and sense of worth are not circumscribed, but are enlarged by serving good causes bigger than ourselves. Fellow Americans, that association has meant more to me than any other. I lived and died a proud American. We are citizens of the world's greatest republic, a nation of ideals, not blood and soil. We are blessed and are a blessing to humanity when we uphold and advance those ideals at home and in the world. We have helped liberate more people from tyranny and poverty than ever before in history, and we have acquired great wealth and power in the progress. We weaken our greatness when we confuse our patriotism with tribal rivalries that have sown resentment and hatred and violence in all the corners of the globe. We weaken it when we hide behind walls rather than tear them down, when we doubt the power of our ideals rather than trust them to be the great force for change they have always been. We are 325 million opinionated, vociferous individuals. We argue and compete and sometimes even vilify each other in our raucous public debates. But we have always had so much more in common with each other than in disagreement. If only we remember that and give each other the benefit of the presumption that we all love our country, we will get through these challenging times. We will come through them stronger than before. We always do. 10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt so powerfully that evening. I feel it powerfully still. Do not despair of our present difficulties. We believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America.
The goodbye letter to America from his deathbed, from John McCain. Rick Davis, a very tough, tough thing to do is read a 4-minute statement, because he loved the man too. Rick Davis was the former national campaign manager for Senator John McCain. You can hear as he choked up throughout that entire thing. And I think it's interesting that John McCain said, I have loved my life, all of it. I mean,
the good and the bad, the tragic and the heroism.
Tortured, skin cancer, mm-hmm. brain cancer.
And again,
and he loved every minute of his life still.
Up until the end, he was still working. Just amazing the amount of energy and time this guy had for America. And yeah. that was his one duty, his one job, and he did it very well.
The Maverick passing away on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, very interesting. What's it like to be on John McCain's, I guess I should say, in John McCain's doghouse? We've been there. John Hook has been there. We're going to share those stories next.